welcome to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne. I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything related to retail, NDC, one order and distribution. I also work as an instructor both with IATA and Aeroplus.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash. I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in business travel in under 15 minutes. Also, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So we were about to start the story when we had...
Apologies for this interruption, but we have some breaking news.
So it's amazing. We saw this right now a few minutes ago that American Express has made public its intention to acquire all of CWT for $570 million, give or take, subject, of course, to approval. Quite remarkable, but I just posted about this as well, guys. I mean, I don't like it when people say that, but I did predict this is going to happen. Actually, at a customer conference in November last year, I did say within 3 years, so it's a bit sooner than that. But we will obviously discuss the story in more detail next week, as we can see how it unfolds in the week. But I thought I'd quickly ask Ash and Anne for their comments.
I have a couple of thoughts in my head. One of them is that, is this going to get approval? You know, anytime one and two merge, there's always scrutiny. I think that this is going to go through some regulatory approvals. So let's see what happens there. And then the other thing also is that, as you mentioned, you know, you predicted this a while ago. And I think that this is something that is probably sped up because of the fact that there is so much shift in the travel industry with NDC and One Order and all this stuff, that I think it's much better for CWT to not have to attack that on their own, but to just fold into Amex GBT and move forward that way. So those are my two thoughts right now. And what about you?
I'm going to say we're pretty good at predicting, aren't we? You know, we do a pretty good job as a group. We've said it so many times that we need consolidation. I mean, it's not only in the TMC space, but we need consolidation in many areas of the industry. So not surprising in that sense.
Yeah, I think we need to change the name of the show, right? So you can know about it here before it happens. But yeah, I very interesting development indeed. I am surprised at that price. I think it's going to be difficult. I agree with you, Ash. I think getting this past the regulators is going to be tough. But obviously, this is something they've been looking at and focused on and considering from all angles. You know, they went through the same of HRG. I know it's not quite as big a deal, but let's see where this takes them. And let's see what they do with this, whether they're going to keep the brand, whether they're going to keep it all separate or not. It will be very interesting to see indeed. But yeah, developing story. We have reached out to a few contacts. We all know it's MXGBT and asked them if they're going to take part next week. We'll see if they do that. I suppose they can't. It's quite a big thing for them at the moment, but let's see what happens. So back to the regular list of stories from week 12 of last week, which was the 12th week of the year. My first story was about Brussels Airlines doing something very interesting. I think this is quite fascinating. So they're starting a new route, Nairobi back to Brussels. And to promote the route, they have a, I suspect it's a limited time period offer, but they're going to give free chauffeur transfers to all inbound packs at Brussels to quite a range of destinations. It's quite wide throughout mostly Western Europe. I thought this was an interesting way to promote this new route. There are, of course, a few strings attached. You have to spend €2,500 or more, but it doesn't matter what class of travel you're in. You can experience this. And they're going to offer these to Amsterdam, Den Haag, Rotterdam, Cologne, Düsseldorf, Bonn, Luxembourg, quite a range of destinations, even as far as Calais. It's not just a marketing gimmick. It's a real good offer. And I'd be fascinated to hear your views on this. I suspect you do like this sort of thing, right?
I'm a bit ambivalent here. It's pretty far. Driving from Brussels to Amsterdam is 2.5 hours. And then having a car going back empty and the traffic. Those are just my sort of initial thoughts on this.
Yeah.
You can be up to 4 people in the car. It also makes you wonder, do all these 4 have to have paid €2,500 to be in that car? That's sort of one of the questions I have. Chauffeur-driven services are not, of course, new. I mean, we've got that with Emirates, but of course, much shorter distances than this. This is pretty far.
Let's give Brussels Airlines the sort of applause for trying to do something different, and at least, you know, they're not just the same old. This is something new. Like you say, chauffeur-driven offers have been around for a long time, in Virgin Atlantic and what they did with the motorbikes in London, that sort of thing. But what I love about this is that it's all classes, irrespective of travel, and it's just to get people talking about this new route, which is what they are achieving. So, Ash, what are your thoughts?
Well, can you actually get a coach fare for more than $2,500?
Oh, easily. It's quite a long route.
Well, then in that case, it's good.
Well, there you have it.
I just thought it was a gimmicky because it was the fare of $2,500, right? So for me, it was like, I mean, how many people are going to buy a coach fare for $2,500 and more?
Okay, let's move on. Still sticking with airlines and, you know, announcements about cabins. I like this one a lot. This Qatar Airways, their new CEO, is bringing back first class. And I see related to this news is that they've spoken to Airbus and Boeing for, you know, continued orders. So interesting development. The previous, you know, CEO made quite a big deal of the fact that their Q suite, the business class offering, was the best in the sky and not provide first class anymore. And this sort of turnaround by the new CEO. I'm in agreement with him. I think in that market where he's in, this is a big deal. First class to be, you know, differentiating, you know, where you fly in the cabin is very important for some people in those markets. So I'm in agreement. And are you?
Yes, I am. Yes. It's a market that, you know, has all the money in the world. And I totally agree. Mark Ross-Smith did a post on that this week, which I thought, you know, status is extremely important. It is very, very important to so many people. Distinction between those classes are very important.
And Ash, now you can fly to Qatar again, right?
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Now I have a reason to travel, because when they said no first class, I was like, I'm out. But now I'm back in. So good job, Qatar.
Out of interest, Ash, have you flown Qatar Q Suite on long haul?
I have not.
Easily the best product in the sky. I've done it a few times and it is fantastic. So, you know, their first class will be very impressive. But yeah, it's brilliant. But yeah, because it doesn't say first, I thought it wouldn't attract your attention. But there you go. Next story, again, Carlson Wagon Lee was in the news last week for a different reason. They formed a partnership with carbon management company Squeak. According to the marketing announcement there, it was to support the use of sustainable aviation fuel in business travel.
But I don't think that this relationship is going to mean anything now. Yeah. I mean, this is probably going to get dissolved right away. And American Express, GBT, has their own relationships and partnerships. And I think that that's where that's going to go.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would agree. I think this is dead in the water, probably. Chris is just reminding me that I shouldn't be saying Carlson Wagon Lee. That's a branding police alert, according to him. It's only CWT. Not allowed to say Carlson Wagon Lee anymore. Thanks, Chris, for reminding me.
I love it when our audience keeps you straight. That's how it
correct.
Should be.
That's how it should be.
Thanks. Otherwise, we'll say anything around here.
We might just be careful. And speaking of just saying anything, I blatantly promoted my own business in this, but it is relating in a related development, staying on the CO2 front, Agentivity and Trees for Travel enhanced our partnership with an automated feed so that we can make it very easy for our customers to offer their customers a carbon management program. And that story achieved quite a lot of traction in the news.
Why don't you give us a little bit more details on that? Like what is Trees for Travel doing? How do you fit in? What's the story here?
Yeah, so we've had a long-standing relationship with Trees for Travel. Trees for Travel is a carbon management company. They make it easy for corporates to manage the cost of their carbon spend and keep track of it and that sort of stuff. And we've just taken that relationship to the next level, because getting the customer's data to Trees for Travel, if there is a manual process involved or if there is an extraction of the back office involved, etc., it's just another hurdle to getting that done for the corporate. And what we've done here is we've made that a click of the button for the agency to go to their corporates and say, look, if you want to get your data, your actual travel data into that program and see it there and manage it from within there, we'll just do it for you as the agency. And then they click a button in the app with us and off they go. So we've just, you know, wanted to make that as easy as possible for our clients. clients to expand their offering without having to do anything different. And that's what we're doing here. So I don't like to talk about my own stuff, but this was quite, you know, related. And there we go. It's news.
Well, right? If your own stuff makes the news, then you should say something about it. And just make sure you don't make any claims about sustainability that can mislead customers.
That is correct, which we are going to indeed. Let's just talk about that because it does relate. So there was a fairly big story that broke last week that a Dutch court ruled that KLM Royal Dutch Airlines misled their customers about their sustainability claims. So these things are bound to come out. The term here is greenwashing, right? And they were not correct in how they talked about it. And what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I think it's really good that they really clamped down on this. And as you know, there is too much greenwashing. There's actually too much innovation washing as well. That's a different story. You should really monitor this stuff because there is just so much out there that I strongly disapprove of. It has to be factual.
Ash, any comments?
Yeah, I think KLM got off really easy. There was no action taken other than just paying for the claimant's costs. There was no fines of any kind. Of course, that has something to do with the relationship between KLM and the government. And I think that it should have been a little bit more harder than this.
Glad for KLM, so you're not on that court. It just sounds like you would have grounded them. But yeah, fair enough.
When it comes to this topic, there needs to be a little bit of seriousness that everybody takes in their mind, because you can lose the trust of the customer only once, right?
Yes.
Once you lose it, it's going to be really hard to rein it back in. And I think that when people become a little bit loosey-goosey about it, as we say here in North America, when it comes to advertising and promoting things that may not be true, I think that it just sends the wrong message.
Yes. What was that technical term? Goosey-loosey?
Loosey-goosey.
Oh, loosey-goosey. Okay, good.
Just means it's kind of like, you know, cruising along.
Okay, fine. So speaking of stuff that is not loosey-goosey, I just want to turn to the audience and say thank you so much for giving us your time on a Monday. We really appreciate it. This show has been getting a lot of traction, and we appreciate the familiar faces and also to see fresh and new faces here every week. The purpose of our discussion here is to get as many of you connected to one another. So if you haven't done it already, please scroll through the audience there at the bottom and make sure you send out a connection request to everyone. And also, of course, accept one. We do believe that we need more connections and connectivity here in the industry. We also select one individual to be our link of the week. And this week, I'm delighted to say that Steve Luzzo from MXGBT Agencia. You're joining us all the way from Chicago. I appreciate that, Steve. I don't know how early it is for you there, but thank you for joining. You seem to be a great connection to have. And for those who are not connected to Steve, please do reach out and connect to him. So well done for being our link of the week. And again, thanks for everybody for joining us this week. It's been great to see you. So continuing with the stories, and I'd love to hear what you think about this one, that SAS Scandinavian Airlines, they got their US court approval for their Chapter 11 restructuring plan. So this is what they wanted. They got it. All loosey-goosey or hunky-dory?
Well, I don't know about loosey-goosey or hunky-dory, but yeah, we're happy about that because, like I've said so many times, it's either that the airline folds or, you know, is rescued. And I do believe that they can contribute to the SkyTeam Alliance and play a very different role. But of course, than they've had in the Star Alliance. But of course, there is a lot of talk about, you know, the Eurobonus program and points, and so lots of speculation.
Any speculation from your side, Ash?
Well, I was going to ask Anne a question. I mean, what happens if this doesn't work? Their realignment with Air France, KLM and SkyTeam.
The largest owners anyway are the Danish state. And also there is a private Danish investor involved in all this mix. For some reason, Air France, KLM pull out, that necessarily the airline folds. I don't think so. But they would have to come up with something quick.
I just don't see this partnership working very well, is why I was asking that question.
SkyTeam.
Yeah.
Do you really think that the Star Alliance has really worked really well?
No, but I just think that you're kind of, you know, going from a pot of hot water into one that's hotter.
I mean, they want to JV, right? That's what they're after. And they could never achieve that in Star Alliance. So hopefully they can do so in SkyTeam.
My next story was about Lufthansa Group. They've revealed the stats around the uptake of their green fares around the group's airlines. So I should have turned this into a quiz, right, Ash, and ask you, what do you think? How many people are buying Lufthansa Group's green fares? Turns out that around 3% of passengers who were able to book the fare type did so indeed. But this is across Lufthansa, Austrian, Brussels, Swiss, Edelweiss, Discover, and a few others. It was interesting to see, though, that in the business class section of it, that made up to as high as 11%, if I read it correctly, but that's via its own portals. And the route where the fare type was the most popular was Hamburg, Munich, Zurich, London, and Frankfurt, Berlin. Very interesting to see that. I don't know what you read into it, Ash, if you had a chance to read it.
Well, I was thinking of this, you know, the story, and the same time I was thinking about the other story with KLM. What are they doing about these fares that people are buying? Is there some action being taken, or is it just simply that these are green fares? I know that the article talks about them making SAF purchases and other things like that. I mean, how is this any different than what KLM is doing? And promoting that if you buy carbon offsets, that you will then have a benefit because you're buying this fare. I don't know if green fares, and by calling something a green fare, it necessarily helps the traveler get to the end result. And as we've said on the show many times before, negating the output of CO2 is the responsibility of the company that's creating it. And to transfer that into a fare or a product or to a customer and have the traveler deal with the thought of it all, I think just loses the value of what you're doing as a company. So I'll leave it there. I don't know if, Anne, you have anything to add to that.
No, I totally agree with you. 100%.
So there's a very rare event that I'm in total agreement with you, Ash, but there we go. I am in total agreement with you on that one. I saw a related post from somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody we know, but he was flying on British Airways and he saw the in-flight magazine and he saw the option to buy sustainable aviation fuel for the airline. I don't know how that works. You just pay them and it goes into Sunair for something silly, like £3 or £5 or something crazy. The reader made was that, first of all, you know, what does that contribute? You have no idea. You know, where does that go? What is the value of it actually? But most importantly, he was saying, and this is a very valid point, rather than do that, why don't they do a more consistent content in the in-flight magazine to explain what is sustainable aviation fuel and where, how is it used and where does it come from? It was an interesting comment from somebody. And I would agree. I mean, I don't think the average person, I certainly didn't know much about sustainable aviation fuel. I still don't know too much about it, but there needs to be more knowledge about that that's being shared rather than you buying something for £5, you don't know what you're doing. So, very strange.
Well, it's like a guilt fee, right? So rid your guilt.
Yes.
Pay $5. Same reason when you go to church and you put money in the, you know, you feel better. I mean, no, I'm just saying. I mean, you know. And then how much later until the flight attendants go up and down the aisle asking everybody to put $5 into the bag so that, you know, they can offset the carbon? I mean, there's no end to this.
Yes. Oh, I just picture that. I can't stop laughing. But I was actually picturing Clive or whoever it was, you know, sitting there sort of going, ping, ping, you know, excuse me, can I buy? and just buy that, you know, no coffee, no nothing. It's just like, I would have loved to have seen that. I guess I have to fly British Airways to try it out for myself.
I'm not that desperate. That's okay. So there we go. Last story on my list was the Michael O'Leary comment around Boeing. It was very interesting to see what he had to say. He wasn't very kind at all. And basically, he called the meeting and then, you know, he was just saying that they love to talk corporate bull S. So that was very interesting to see. He was not mincing his words as usual. But then, you know, we didn't expect anything else from him, right, Anne?
No, we don't. No. And actually, you know, good for him. I actually saw... I saw an article today about Ryanair and how they literally, you know, they are so good with social media that it's just like they are the best in breed. Well, yes. I'm changing the subject, but I'm expecting this from Michael O'Leary. And
I mean, they are saying now that the airfares are going to, you know, not be able to come down because of this. But Ash, what did you make of that?
Well, I mean, he slammed Boeing and then the CEO stepped down today.
That's right.
The power of Ryanair, just so everybody knows.
I mean, to be fair, though, that wasn't a very difficult prediction to make, right? We all said that guy had to go. You know, leadership had to change there. But timing of that was interesting. So that's official, right, Ash? CEO of Boeing.
Yeah. He's stepping down and it's a done deal. And quite honestly, I think he's probably relieved that he doesn't have to deal with this anymore. And he can sleep at night. And, I mean, every day it's like a new problem. It never stops, right?
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't been CEO that long. He's just started in 2020. So, you know, he started at the beginning of the pandemic. And so think about his 4 years at Boeing. It's probably the worst thing that he'd have done.
Yes, I'm sure he'll get a nice little exit deal there for sure. I have an extra story, so I just want to mention this. Ash, I see you commented on this, but it was very depressing. Your comment was, if this isn't depressing, then what is? But this was the news that Deutsche Bahn have posted a loss of 2.4 billion euros. And I suspect some of that goes into sending you postage for refund claims, right, Anne?
Oh, that Anne has to mail in with the stamps.
Yes, the postage actually returning those via mail. Yes, yes, I know. And they actually sent two. That was fascinating. You know, one for the outbound and one the separate one for the inbound.
But this is depressing, isn't it? I mean, this is such a, you know, major opportunity to do really well. And then they do this.
And, you know, I can't get over that hike in the CEO's salary, right? He's got one of the highest salaries in all of Germany. Uh-huh. It's totally mind-boggling. There's just so much that is wrong with that company, the way I see it. And it's sad.
But I did love your comment, Ash. That was spot on.
I mean, how do you lose $2.4 billion? Like, how do you do that? In a time when rail should be the easiest way to get people, all the government is behind you, the world is behind you.
Strike every 2 weeks.
And you still know. Screw it up.
Talk about an opportunity on a plate. I think that wraps it up for this week, if I'm not mistaken. So thank you so much for the audience. And Anne and Ash, thank you to you.
Thanks, everyone, for your time.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every Monday. You can share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you ever miss a show because of time zone availability, you can always catch up on the podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.